Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the program. This is Mudtoe at Midnight. I am your host, Mudtoe Sasquatch. Thank you for joining me this evening. First of all, a shout out to those of you who have expressed a concern about me. I am still here. There was not a radio show last week, and there was not a blog entry last week, so some people were getting a bit concerned about me. Thought perhaps I had disappeared or gotten sick or something, but please let me assure you I'm doing just fine. I was out of town for a few days last week, and I'm just going to stay. I lost track of time on the radio show thing, as I simply didn't realize that it was Friday. My sense of time very sort of messed up by the things that have been going on here lately, all the kind of bouncing back and forth between my house and my parents' house as I prepare to close out my apartment. So it just got past me. I'm just a bad goalie in that respect, so I do apologize about the no radio show last week. Then about the blog, the thing is right now I don't have an internet connection at my apartment, so any writing I do or any sort of internet, not any writing, but any sort of internet activity that I do, there has to be a library involved. I can't even use Wi-Fi because I've left my computer at my parents' house. So what happened was on Monday I just got busy with something else and I couldn't get to the library to the blog. So rest assured, I've already corrected this part of it. There is a radio show next week. There will be a blog on Monday. What I'll also be doing on Monday is beginning my final push of getting rid of this stuff that's in my apartment. I have several pieces of furniture I'm trying to find because there's just no place for it and really no good way to get it to my parents' apartment. So, my parents' house, that is. So I'm getting rid of just as many of these pieces of furniture as I can. And I think the ones I don't get rid of are going to end up going to Goodwill. What has confounded this process is that I have been called for jury duty, which is something I actually look forward to very much. I have always wanted to do jury duty and have never been called before. This is my first time, and of course it occurs on the very week it is my last week in my apartment that I would be doing my final chores as far as getting the apartment cleaned up and ready to turn the keys back over to the landlord. If I do get involved with a I could be there all day. I guess the way I understand it is, even if I don't get assigned to a case, I'm going to be sitting in the court basically all day waiting to maybe be assigned to a case. That wasn't the way it worked in other places that I've lived, but I've always lived in much smaller towns than I live in now. So perhaps the process is different. I mean, I've never been assigned. Actually, I've never actually had to go to the court, not in a summons before. Then it's been called off, whatever they're going to do, was called off before I actually had to go there. And, you know, perhaps that's what will happen with this. I don't know. But right now I'm planning on being downtown at 8 a.m., not this coming Monday, but the next Monday. And it's probably going to be all day, every day that week. What's the real problem is I have to be out of the apartment. I have to turn in my keys on Thursday. If I'm still here for jury duty on Friday, I'm going to find some kind soul here who will let old Mudtoe sleep on their floor and then get up in the morning and go to jury duty. So lots of interesting experiences awaiting me over the next couple of weeks while I try to accelerate my efforts. I had most of this week to try and get some of that stuff done, and I have actually. I've gotten quite a bit of stuff bagged up and thrown away, some other stuff organized, in such a way that perhaps I'll be able to sell it or give it away. One thing I haven't done, which sort of disappoints me, is I haven't made much of a dent in my pantry. I still have quite a bit of food that might just end up getting thrown away, and I hate that. I've done that a lot in the past. I ran out and all fired up to, you know, do more of my own cooking, you know, to prepare more of my own food. And so I get a bunch of food and I stock all my, I was going to say shelves, but I don't actually have shelves in this apartment. I have different places that I have to store the food. But yeah, I go out and I go out and buy $200 worth of food or whatever, and then bring it back, and it just sits on the shelves, and then never use it, and it eventually ends up getting thrown away. Given away sometimes, but you know, I don't know if I can take it to a food. A lot of it is expired. I don't think they take the expired food at a food bank, do they? I've never asked. It's where I get slapped in the face. In the position I'm in now, I may actually be a client of a food bank before it's all over with, so I keep on their good side. So anyway, you know, I was hoping, okay, I'm not, you know, stay. I don't have a whole lot of money. Stay out of the restaurants, make my own food. I just have not done very well at that. I've, you know, scaled back my restauranteuring, but it's all about eating at cheaper places rather than you're not eating out at all. So, but I don't feel like I've done very well. I think probably for the whole week, I probably get a C. If we're going to do the whole A, B, C, D, F kind of scale. I think just kind of, you know, I did okay, not really outstanding in any area. And next week, things are going to have to be outstanding in several areas if I'm going to get this apartment in shape to give it back to the people who own it. Now, this is odd. The minute I got on the radio, the sound, the noise has just died next door to me. And I wonder, have they actually put a midnight limit on the partying next door? For those of you who don't listen to the show, there is a group of young gentlemen who live next door to me. One of them is actually my sort of landlord's representative. He's the youngest son of the gentleman who owns the building. So they come over there, and they have usually on Friday and or Saturday, they have them a rip-roaring party over there, which is fine. You know, they're young kids, and it's a weekend, and you know, I'm not working anymore, so it's not really bothering me. But what's funny is they never seem to go very late. You know, that's I don't know whether they have some place they have to be in the morning or what the deal is, but, you know, the party always seems to end. It doesn't go on until like 4 in the morning. That's never happened. I think 2 in the morning, maybe once. But what happened lately, the party was just, you know, going rip-roaring there right up until the stroke of midnight, and now it's just gone silent. And actually, makes me a little bit nervous. I don't know what has happened over there. Maybe perhaps it's time for the sacrifice, so they've turned all the music off. they've lit the black candles, and they're drawing the pentangles, and somebody's getting ready to get chopped. Geez, I hope that's probably not. You know, I bet, let's say, $10 that it's probably not what's happening over there. But it's fun to imagine, you know, the various scenarios. You know, another fun scenario could be that they're all gathered beneath my window listening to me do this show. So I can't see out my window because there's an air conditioner and a couple of little, what do you call those? I have a crazy big window in my bedroom, and it's just way too large for the air conditioner barely, not even halfway across it, and the little vinyl flaps that come with the air conditioner that you extend out, so you plug those holes so your birds and things don't fly into your window. It also supposed to keep the warm air out and the cold air in. They don't even nearly reach the edges. So I just took them off, and I had some materials down in the basement that evidently one of the various people who's lived in this apartment before me was a photographer, and he has these presentation materials, and it was like kind of cardboard rectangles that then they put the corners on and stick the picture on the, you know, in the corners, or I don't even, do they even use the corners anymore? I remember the corners always being one of them. It's a thing that they mount a picture on, and then you put all the information about it. You know, it's the trees are Trigonellian and taken with the F6.0 at 11.7 centimeters per second. Yeah, it's all that information. You know what I'm talking about now. The things that photographers use to mount, I guess maybe they're mounting it or something. And there's a whole bunch of them down there. So I took 2 of them, and that's what I'm using to keep the old. And now there's some interesting noise coming from the old. I think that's rain. I think there's rain falling on the outside. So at first I thought, you know, there's probably some sort of alien trying to crawl through that air conditioner to get to me. But now that I process the whole deal more. more rationally, that was probably rain. There's a little bit more. So that's fun. Going to have a little rain tonight. That was predicted. So it's not a surprise. The one thing I do that does kind of concern me when the rain comes is that I have a big old hole in my ceiling. Now, what happened was, the ceiling is made, this is a really old building, and the ceiling is, the ceiling of my room, I live on the second floor, there's sheetrock, and then there's some lath, wooden lath, I guess it's, I think that's what you call it, it's like thin slices of wood kind of nailed together. And then there's a little bit of airspace, I don't know how much, it's not very much, and then there's the asphalt roof. Well, what happens sometimes when it rains really hard for a long time, this is what the landlord has told me, is the chimney fills up with water. I'm like, my God, how much water would it take to fill up a chimney? So I'm not sure if I clearly understood that or not, but I think what he said was that the chimney fills up with water and it overflows into that space, that little air, that little dead air space, and you know, it just runs out to wherever it collects in, you know, the lowest spot. And then it just sits there and soaks into the sheetrock. Now, what happened was that lowest spot happened to be right over the door in my bedroom, and it soaked, the water soaked into the sheetrock, and it soaked and it soaked and soaked, until the sheetrock was more kind of like wet Kleenex, and then it all fell in onto my floor. So I have this, not all, it's a space, it's about 2 feet around, about, and so it's not a huge spot. But it worries me because, first of all, because whenever rain starts to fall, I think, oh, great, it's going to be, you know, big-time rain and more sheetrock is going to fall. But the other thing is when, you know, sometimes when I'm in here, I can hear, you know, critters get up on the ceiling or on the roof, which is, you know, what they do. They're running around. And we've had birds up there and various kinds of critters up there. And, first of all, I always worry about them getting, you know, somehow into that dead air space and crawling around, you know, in between there to where all that's keeping them out is the lath and the sheetrock. Well, now I've got a space in my ceiling that's just the lath, not the sheetrock. The sheetrock isn't even there anymore. So there's a really, really, really bad rainstorm earlier in the week, and I started to hear not just a rainstorm but also a critter running around on top of the building, and I'm trying to think, oh no, and I couldn't sleep because I'm thinking of that critter getting inside to get dry, you know, worms its way into some opening inside the, you know, in between the lath and the asphalt, and then just crawling along until it finds that nice space and just sits there until, I was laying in bed. And we're actually starting to get morning light. I've been up all night. I was up earlier just because I couldn't get to sleep. I'd eaten a very late meal and drank way too much caffeine, and I absolutely could not get to sleep. And I had just fallen asleep before this rainstorm hit that woke me up. And I was just about ready to fall asleep again, and I'm hearing the critter. And I'm thinking, I look over to the hole in the ceiling, and it just seemed to me as I was looking, you know, sometimes your eye doesn't process things quite right, because it's kind of dark, there's not a lot of light in the room, there's just sort of early morning light coming up, and it just seemed to me that those pieces of wood were bowing, you know, that they were like bowing, and like something was sitting on there, just ready to crack, and this deranged raccoon or possum or whatever it was up there was going to be in my room and between me and the door, which would have been fun. So I couldn't take it anymore. I got up and fled to my front porch, which I'm finding now I don't think I have used it nearly enough. It was a resource that I did not take advantage of. But I sat out, you know, 6 in the morning, morning light just coming up, you know, put my feet up and just watch the traffic go by. It was nice and cool outside. Drank some, took a little bit of milk out with me, a little breakfasty thing. Had a little milk and felt the air and watched the traffic. It was very, very meditative. And then I sat there about an hour. Finally started feeling sleepy again. So I charged back upstairs and forgot about the critter. I looked at the hall. They weren't bowed at all. It was just all in my mind. Laid down and managed to get to sleep for a couple of hours before I had to get up and go to my counselor's appointment. So it was a good thing, except I had to go to through that appointment on very little sleep, which is not always easy to do because it's a combination. I meet with my caseworker. My caseworker meets with me directly, which is something. I was at this place for 2 years and hadn't even met my caseworker. This is the county mental health board, which provides my my various mental health services because I can't pay for them. And then everything switched up because I went on Medicaid. And so now I have a whole different care team now. It's apparently who's providing your insurance effects on, you know, gives you effect on who's in your care team. So since I went on Medicaid in February, I have a case manager who I actually talk to now, and she's also my therapist. So it's this we meet every Thursday, and it's this sort of kind of we meet for an hour, and it's this combination of applying for services and then therapy. You know, and it's eclectic, and yet they seem to go together in a very odd way. Here's this sort of craziness that's in my life, and here's this other sort of craziness that's in my life. And craziness it is when you're trying to make things happen. I had applied for something my caseworker had, my case manager had recommended for me. As a way to, there's sort of programs that work together to get people into crappy housing, but it is housing, and everything has to sort of, all the vectors have to align. And the difficulty we were getting to, this was actually my case manager's supposition. We don't know if this is true or not. But one issue was we're coming to the end of the government's fiscal year, and things tend to slow down and then completely stop as you get down to those last few days just because there's no money left. And then around about July 4th, they start to crank back up again. So we're just hoping now that we can hit on some sort of winning combination. The big problem right now is they don't have any income. It is really hard to make these things happen if you don't have any money coming in at all. It's not impossible, which really surprised me. It's not impossible to get into an apartment and have your utilities paid through various government programs. It doesn't leave you anything extra, but you can live on zero income and only money coming in from the county and the state and the federal government. And I found that just a bit disconcerting. We're not talking about, obviously, if someone has some sort of, you know, I'm dealing with the mental health board, there are some people who aren't able to take care of themselves. A lot of people, most of the people I'd say who work there are people who are not allowed. Maybe they're not allowed, but they're not able to take care of themselves. Okay, yeah, I can see that. But it's possible for people who may have some difficulties but are otherwise able to function. It's more the more higher functioning. Listen to that shit. The higher functioning you are, the harder it is to get it moving, which is what my main difficulty has been. Perhaps I'm flattering myself, but I'm actually pretty high functioning. And you know, I would rather not do any of this. That's what gets. I want to find a job, and I want to work that job, and I want to pay my bills to that job. I don't want to bother the government with all of this, but while it's necessary, I am not averse to doing it. You know, I paid into the system for years and years and years, and now I'm not. I have no qualms at all about taking out when the time has come to do so. No spiritual qualms about it. No patriotic qualms about it. Sometimes some nagging capitalism pangs kind of get to me, but those pass. Capitalism and I have been had a long struggle, and I'm quite sure that is going to continue. I like capitalism. How do I say this? I'm thinking it reminds me of a bastardized version of the old Gandhi quote. He said that someone asked him what he thought about Christianity. He says he was fine with Christianity. He says, "I like your Christ." It says, I wish your Christians were more like your Christ. And it's, I guess my version of that is sort of like capitalism. I like capitalism, but capitalists that kind of annoy me. And then you have the perversion of capitalism to mean sort of every man for himself or everyone for himself, but that's not really what capitalism is supposed to be out about. And it's what has landed us where we are. It's what landed me. I'm not gonna go that far. It's created the conditions which have caused me an embarrassment of embarrassment. I want to say of funds. I heard that phrase in a Roger Corman movie called Big Bad Mama. William Shatner said it, and he was suffering an embarrassment of funds. The sort of demoralization, the demoralizing situation that I find myself in is created more by predatory capitalism than anything else. Now, my own decisions have helped put me here. There's no question about that. I'm not going to blame anybody for my being in a state that I'm in. But this state is not something, the state itself is not something of my creation. Somebody else created this funky place that I'm in. And I live in that place because, how can I say the because? What is the because? I realized, this goes back to 2007 is when I first went into treatment, and I realized that I needed help to navigate all of this. So I guess the because would probably be that I probably waited too long. I waited till my connections were far too frayed. My mental connections, my brain connections are way too frayed for meaningful repairs to be made. I pretty much, this is my state of mind, my state of being, and this is what it's going to be until I die. And I have to need to find someone, or maybe I don't need to find someone. Maybe if I can find another way to make my own way through writing books, perhaps. But I'm going to find some way to navigate this world. That's what bothers me. That's what puts me in a pickle. I have problems navigating this world, and I do things that others look at strangely, or they look at as strange, or they look at as even antisocial. I don't mean them to be antisocial. I don't want to hurt anybody. You know, I shouldn't have gone down that road. Now it's sounding like I'm doing something really sinister, and I'm not. And my associations are often very oddly constructed, oddly addressed. And I have to find a situation where that's not a problem. That would be my preference. Or I guess I've got to quit talking about it so damn much. I got to be more effective at hiding it. Now, when my principal problem was alcohol, I was very effective at hiding it. Now, since I've given up the alcohol, my principal problem is interpersonal relations, particularly with women, harder for me to keep off the front burner, I think. Or maybe not. Maybe nobody knows anything about it, and I'm just paranoid. Because, I mean, it's not like there are incidents. It's not like people are filed complaints against me. I'm feeling pretty quiet about it, actually. But it goes on in my head. It can be difficult for me. Why am I going down this road? My God, I'm making myself sound like somebody who needs to be in an institution now. Not what it is. I'm bothered by the fact that other people navigate this, their lives and this civilization with such seeming ease, and I'm unable to do it. someone says something to me and I start calculating what's, you know, what they mean by that, and say, and trying to come up with 8 possible scenarios of what was meant. When maybe that person was just telling me to have a nice day. The person told me to have a nice day. When someone says have a nice day, maybe what they mean is have a nice day. And maybe it does. Maybe there isn't something, you know, deeper in that that I need to explore. I need to seek someone out on Facebook and send them a note or something along those lines. And then I don't even know if I even need to tell you this next part. I feel like I am, you know, I always want to feel like I can say anything that I need to on these shows. But sometimes I feel like I need to either just say it or I need to shut up. Because half the time I end up being halfway about it. I say a little bit and then I don't finish it. And I think that leaves an impression of something going on that's much worse than what's actually going on. I hope saying that fixes any damage that I may have done over the past 10 minutes. Probably not. That's one of the negatives of doing a show of this type, especially the way I'm doing it now over the phone, because I can't, without the internet, I can't take phone calls. And typically I don't anyway, but just phone calls have their own problems. But not where I am right now, I'm just talking for half an hour, and I don't know how people are reacting to what I'm saying. It's just very difficult. That's why I don't like the phone in general. I avoid using the phone in general because you can't see the other person's face. You can't see how they're reacting to what you're saying. And I find myself descending into hell sometimes when I'm on the phone. Made things very, very difficult with myself, particularly with women that I have been dating. Women that I have been dating and then getting involved with them on the phone, very, very bad situation, a very, very, or text, God, text messages are even worse. The last, counting in my head, 4 or 5, at least 4 that I can remember. The last 4 really bad knockdown, drag out arguments I've had with a woman were via text message. And it's always just, you know, misunderstanding that occurs because you're not in the same room talking to each other. And you're trying to make things happen with with a conservative number of words, and often just meaning is lost. What did you mean by that? Why did you say that? And of course, I try to backtrack or try to walk away, and that's not. The other thing that happens is sometimes I feel that the other person has closed the conversation, so I don't feel the need to send back another text if all I'm going to say is okay or, you know, whatever. And that would be trouble. You know, I get the text, they'll send me a text, the other person will send me a text, this is usually female stuff too. They'll send me a text, and okay, that's fine, I don't answer it, and then an hour later, why didn't you answer me? So these are things I have to learn, I guess, if I'm going to successfully navigate the world of romance, which I've promised not to talk to you about. Okay, we're done. I've got through the whole entire half an hour. Thanks for your patience. And I'm going to be working hard to get my apartment cleaned out. And, gosh, I hope I'll have something more interesting to talk to you about next Friday. Yes, thank you once again, and good evening.